Thank you for inviting me. So I'm going to give some kind of introduction to local geometric Langlands. The more people interrupt me, the less I'll feel like I'm just kind of rambling. So please, you're not only invited, but requested to interrupt. So first I wanted to start with some notation because everyone has slightly different conventions. So I'm going to start with some little field K, which for practical purposes is C, and it'll be any field of characteristic 0. G is going to be reductive group. G check is its Langlands dual group. X is going to be a projective curve in the beginning. And then I'm going to use big K to mean Laurent series and big O to mean Taylor series. So I'll review these things as needed, but those are sort of my, just the conventions I have in my brain. Oh yeah, and puncture disk is going to be spectrum of K, and the disk will be spec of O. So this indicates a puncture disk, and this indicates a disk. I want to start with kind of a brief fake proof of the global geometric Langlands conjectures, and then we'll talk more about it. So I think that there's a kind of interesting, well, one of the most interesting aspects about geometric Langlands as opposed to arithmetic Langlands is the use of techniques like chiral homology and so on. And it's something that, like, it's a kind of bunch of local to global principles that came out of mathematical physics, as far as I know, and have really become more and more absorbed, and more progress has been made as these ideas have gotten better absorbed. And I think it, on the one hand, that in geometric Langlands, people, in arithmetic Langlands, people have access to lots of analytic techniques that they can use, and in geometric Langlands they don't in the same, but they still, for a long time, were kind of trying to imitate certain constructions. And that for physicists, these local to global ideas come very easily, and they're second nature, and it's one of the places where sometimes this interface has been very helpful. So I just want to kind of review how those ideas work in the setting of global geometric Langlands. So kind of fake proof of a global geometric Langlands. As you say, well, I'm trying to compute quasi-co of locus G check on some projective curve X. And how do I do this? Well, the first thing is that this is going to be chiral homology of X with coefficients in rep G check. So you don't need to know anything about what chiral homology is except to believe that it's a thing. And that there are some ways to manipulate it. So this is the kind of construction you'd have, or sometimes people might write rep G check sort of tensored with the tensor indexed by X is going to give you quasi-coherent sheaves with on the space of local systems. And now this is a great thing because this is it's something much simpler. Like this is, you've applied some functor to some simple object instead of starting with some kind of complicated object. And so, And let me say more generally for the purposes more generally, you can say that chiral homology of X with coefficients in this Kajdan-Lustig category, so G check, Katz-Moody, level kappa, and G check of O integrable is going to equal the category of D modules at level kappa. And I can do kappa check if you want on G check. So the thing where kappa check equals infinity recovers in this earlier plane. And now you're almost done. So first of all, the kind of naive thing you might try to do, so very naive, all of this is naive, but this is very naive in the sense that it's wrong, is you might try to show that g hat mod kappa g of o is equal to g hat, sorry, checks everywhere. You might try to do this and take chiral homology on both sides, maybe minus kappa check, and then apply chiral homology and get back this global conjecture from before, that something like this is equivalent to the same thing, but without checks. And then you would be done. So unfortunately, this isn't true. It's just, you can just calculate the things in simple cases, and you just see they're very far from being true. But there is a correct, corrected thing, which is a theorem of Gates-Corey. No? Gates-Corey, which says that that this category, so I'm going to call this Kajdan-Lustig, as people were doing yesterday, that the Kajdan-Lustig category for G check at level kappa check minus kappa check is equivalent to what's called the Whitaker category at level kappa for the Grassmannian for G. So I'm going to talk later about what Whitaker means. There was some discussion yesterday, and I'll review the meaning. But for now, just it's a thing. Well, this is the kind of local conjecture. Not conjecture, local local theorem. And then what you could try to do is, you know, do something like take chiral homology of this side and then try to show, try to relate that to D modules on Bun G as best you can. So there are some issues with this. So one of the main ones is that chiral homology doesn't make sense for categories. There are also issues like that we're kind of proving a wrong statement, as we learned yesterday. So maybe, well, let's call it. First one is that chiral homology doesn't make sense. And the second one is we're ignoring what I'm going to call today temperedness issues. And we'll just sort of allude to every so often. So these are things like this is something like int-co versus quasi-co is a good first way to think about what that phrase is, means here. Yes?
This chiral homology keeps appearing. Maybe you can give us some orientation how we're supposed to think about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do in a way. So
when you say it doesn't make sense for categories, is that because it's sort of an algebraic thing and there's like a topological version which does make sense for categories?
Yes. Yeah, there is a topological thing that makes sense. Yeah, and it's been computed in similar cases by.
And that would lead to the like Betty geometric line rather than.
Well, but then you run into this issue that that you need some kind of Betty, something like this. And, but that's roughly the idea of I think the Benz v. Nadler project there. It's to really kind of implement this idea in some setup. Other questions? So yeah, so I guess okay. Let me try to give a better job answering your question about chiral homology. So for our purposes, the major thing chiral homology does is it takes something of local nature and it spits out something of global nature. So from a mathematical perspective, what you would think is that you have some kind of factorization object over a curve. So that would be, in my mind, that's something which is defined sort of only using Laurent series and Taylor series, and not things like affine flag varieties, which use Iwahori. And so, you know, this is basically G Laurent series, this is G Taylor series, and so you get something that's factorizable. And it's some local to global principle. So it, in terms of how you calculate it with it, this is the kind of way that you calculate with it. There are some algorithms for it.
Related to associating conformal blocks to, say, a curve and representations of kernel algebra?
Yes, absolutely. So,
That's awesome.
Yep.
So that meant for a vertex algebra, I would get a specific D module, but here you're getting all D modules now. So these are all vertex algebras which have.
Just like local operators are going to give a Hilbert space in topological theory, like this is a line operators are going to give up from Hilbert bounding conditions of topological theory. That's the Hilbert divergence in a sense.
Yep. I'll leave up that notation for now. So the first kind of issue that you run into is, is this one that I said, that this chiral homology isn't, it doesn't make sense for categories. I mean, you can define something and call it whatever name you want, but it just doesn't produce the answers that you were expecting. And so instead, statements get corrected as follows.
When you say categories, these are factorization categories.
Yes. Yep. But what I mean is, for factorization vector spaces, there is something called chiral homology, and there is, you can have an idea of generalizing it, but it doesn't work so well. So instead, you get statements like, saying chiral homology of something equals something else, you get statements of the following form, so they're somewhat more technical. So, let me do the classical version first. So this is a statement that Dima wrote on the board yesterday. So if you do local systems for G-check on your curve, you map this to some run space version of rec G-check. And I'll review what that means in just a second. But this functor is fully faithful. So. Well, and somewhat more generally, you can take some functor from D kappa check of bungee check, or minus if you want, to some version of this Kajdan-Lustig category that lives over run space. And this is also fully faithful. So unfortunately, this statement is true, and this statement is not quite true because of temperedness issues again. So what I want you to think is that this functor is almost fully faithful. But again, this gives, this is roughly the strategy in how you try to prove geometric Langlands, is you consider this kind of a functor and then try to, I guess there would be a third version of this too, which would be to say that you could also take kind of on Langlands' dual side, you could take d kappa of Bungee mapping to this Ron space version of the Whitaker category. And this is also almost fully faithful. And so what you would try to do is run this local equivalence and then match up the essential images of the two functors. So that would be, you know, your strategy for getting around the first issue. It doesn't tell you how to get around the second issue, but at least it's something.
So Sam, are you saying that instead of taking chiral homology of your category, what you do is you consider the category over the Rand space?
Yes, exactly. So so here, let me just briefly say what. Well, I guess it was said yesterday. So Rand space is a space of finite sets of points inside of a curve. So it's something that does make good sense as a space. It's a slightly ugly space, but it's something that turns out to have good formal properties along these lines. Yeah, and I guess, you know, in.
It's fun to essentially taking home sit conform blocks of Kasmudi.
The sphincter?
Yes.
Homs.
Dress with one modules.
Yes, exactly. So it's adjoint to the localization functor. That's I think that's what you're saying. That's exactly right. Yeah. Okay, so that tells you that that something like geometric Langlands breaks up into two parts. So first, you are supposed to prove statements along these lines, and well, as you can see, there are some sorts of issues. So, for instance, in this case, well, let me remind that Whitaker was about some kind of non-zero Fourier coefficients. So Dima talked a little bit yesterday about extended Whitaker, but if you don't extend, then you're only considering non-zero Fourier coefficients. So this functor is going to kill something like the constant sheaf whenever the group is non-abelian. And so, for instance, for SL2, you can see that this functor factors as like quotienting by the constant sheaf and then a fully faithful functor. But in general, the picture is somewhat more complicated.
So the thing you said was for k equal to 0?
Yes, for k equals, yeah, exactly, for 0 level.
So for generic non-rational k?
For generic level,
problem,
no, these statements are true as is. Yeah. They're kind of, the motto is that there are no temperedness issues at irrational level.
For rational k, is it known in each case what have the objects which fail?
For level 0, beyond SL2, you're not going to get.
For SL2.
For SL2, yeah, it would. Yeah, it's very explicit, so you'll only kill.
No, for rational k, not k equal to 0.
Yeah, I think for rational k, you probably only kill sort of these objects, like the line bundle that you're twisting. So it probably should.
But the line bundle is the only thing to get k.
I think it's the only obstruction.
Like k to 1 half, equal to 1 half.
I should be careful. Let me not. Sorry, yeah. I might be wrong. Yeah, I'm not sure actually. Sorry. So that was the brief kind of summary of global geometric Langlands and some of the big ideas there. So now I want to talk about local geometric Langlands. Are there other questions before I go on? Okay, so the first thing that appears in local geometric Langlands is the loop group. So this is denoted by G of K, or sometimes it's denoted by G Laurent series T, and it's, well, it's the algebraic loop group. So like for GL2, let's say it's a set of matrices of the form A, B, C, D, where all of my things are Laurent series, and such that AD minus BC is invertible. GL2 of K. So that's what I mean when I talk about this algebraic loop group. And I guess I should say that the way you think about it as a geometric object is you use Laurent coefficients in order to give yourself coordinates. So you see that that the space is highly infinite dimensional because there are infinitely many possible Laurent coefficients, but you know, that probably doesn't come as such a surprise to people. And so now what the conjecture says in the quantum setting, it's kind of like in the global setting, the quantum thing is somewhat easier to say. Let me back up for a second. So there's a notion of an algebraic group or something like this, or something like G of K, acting on a category C. So for mathematicians, this means strong action, if you know what those words mean. I guess I won't say more about it unless people push me to. What?
One sentence, or what does it mean?
The first kind of thing you get is that for every point in your group, you get an automorphism of your category. So a typical example is like if you have G of K acting on some space X, that'll imply that G of K acts on the category of D modules on X. And how does it act? Well, every element of your group gives you an automorphism of this space, so it gives you an automorphism of the category. It doesn't act on quasi-coherent sheaves, but and I guess the other big example is that, G of K, in the setup, I should also say, as you'll kind of see in a second, that I can talk about actions with a level. So this would be sort of with level zero, this picture. But if X had a line bundle and and the Katz-Moody extension acted on that line bundle, then you would get an action on twisted D modules of appropriate level. And a similar kind of example there is that G of K is going to act on the category of Katz-Moody representations with level kappa. Part of what I mean by action. Yes. Other questions? So then the conjecture in the quantum setting says that G of K mod, by which I mean categories with a G of K action, is equivalent to G check of K mod. And here there's a level kappa, let's say. And here there's a level negative kappa check. So in other words, having an action of G of K with level kappa is the same thing as having an action of G check of K with level minus kappa check. The only thing to be careful about, which we'll talk about more in a minute, is that it's not going to be on the same category. So like, here kind of, like, in a sense, you can think representations are in bijection, but they're different vector spaces, completely allowed. That would be the decategorified version of the statement. And maybe I'll start over here.
Say that again about the decategorified one.
So if you more coarsely, if you thought about these as representations of G of K and these as representations of G check of K, I'm saying under this equivalence, the underlying vector spaces are not the same.
But some structure involving the representations is preserved.
Yes. So I mean, I should characterize this equivalence in some way, or I should give some kinds of compatibilities. And that's what we'll do next. I just wanted to have that first warning in mind. So,
Here your statement is that G of K doesn't act on the same categories that G check of K acts on.
Exactly. Yep.
But you have the natural correspondence between one set of categories and the other that has some properties.
Yes. Yes. So certain invariants you can extract from representations on one side will correspond to different invariants that you can calculate on the other side. Now let me give the classical version of the conjecture. So I can just get rid of the level on one side. So it's kind of level zero, or maybe it's slightly better to think critical level. So. Okay, I'm not going to write it. So the conjecture says that G check of K mod is equivalent to what you can call sheaves of categories over the space of local systems for, locus G check on the punctured disk. So maybe the most important thing to, so this is kind of the kappa equals zero version. So in this case, the most important thing to understand is that, what do I mean by local systems for G-check on the punctured disk? I allow, I can go here. Erased more than I used. So here, locus G-check on the punctured disk, these are going to be G-check valued gauge forms with Laurent series coefficients, modded out by only, so this is the gauge action. I don't know if you want, it's like this. But you're only modding out by like Laurent transformations. So here, for instance, the differential equation for e to the 1 over x is a non-trivial, or e to the 1 over t is a non-trivial connection. Because you can't solve that equation with Laurent series solutions. So this, if you do the connection with arithmetic Langlands, it's kind of like ramification for Galois representations matching up with ramification for differential equations.
When you say sheaf of categories, means that for each of these potential stuff, there is a category and it varies.
Something. Yes. And it forms a sheaf in some sense. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of it's what you get if you just sort of run this algorithm to. So what compatibilities is this supposed to satisfy? So in order to tell you that, so here we have kind of seen this Whitaker thing appearing in an essential way. So the first thing I'm going to have to tell you is about Whitaker categories. So let me suppose that G of K acts on C. So then there's some category with C, so this is a category. And maybe this is with level kappa. This is something. So let me just say what it is for GL2, because the definition in general is something similar. But if you haven't seen it before, it probably won't be helpful. And if you have seen these things before, then you'll be able to extract the right words from what I'm about to say. So in this case, you can consider the group of strictly a priori triangular matrices, or whatever, unipotent matrices. So this is n of k, a set of matrices of this form, inside of GL2 of k. And so this, this is just some huge additive group in this case. And you can take, so what that tells you is that, in particular, this huge additive group k is going to act on your category C. And you can do Fourier transform, as Dima explained yesterday. And what this will give you is a sheaf of categories. You can do Fourier transform, and that tells you that you're allowed to take Fourier coefficients for any functional here. And so for any non-zero, for any functional sort of lambda from k to k, any linear map, you can take you can take the corresponding spectral parameter. So let me say better what that is. So it's going to be roughly the set of objects f and c, such that for every, let's say, f inside of n of k, if you act on your object f by this little f, this Laurent series, it's going to translate as taking the exponential local system on GA of lambda of f tensored with f. And what you can see is that for all non-zero functionals, lambda, the GM action, GM of k action, appearing as the torus on, GM squared of k action on C identifies the fibers, the corresponding categories. In other words, this torus acts transitively on the space of non-zero characters here. And that tells you that, so width C is any non-zero. So in other words, if you have some kind of additive group acting on some vector space, let's say, you can try to do a Fourier transform and think about that vector space as a kind of integral over functionals for your additive group of some kind of like corresponding equivariant pieces. And I'm saying now, if you have sort of in this sort of setup where you have some torus acting also, it'll happen that all of the kind of non-zero spectral parameters are canonically isomorphic. And so this Whitaker thing is going to be any one of those non-zero spectral components of your representation.
What's the meaning of this exponent of f tensor f? Is that part just regarded as a vector space?
So this is an element of K, right?
Yeah.
In other words, an element of GA.
Yeah.
And there's some exponential local system there. So what I mean is the fiber of that local system at this point. So of course, the fiber is like some stupid one-dimensional vector space, right? But really, these things need to be understood in families. And if you understand it in families, you'll get the correct notion. So for instance, if this was the category of sheaves on something, this is saying, OK, if there were no exponential here, if this were just kind of trivial, this would be saying that the sheaf is equivariant, if you understood it correctly, right? It would be saying every time you act by an element of the group, you get the same sheaf. And instead, this is saying that it's some twisted equivariance condition for that character.
And this is what people usually call Whitaker, right?
Yep. Yep.
Once you start doing something like Kasmuni modules, you end up with.
Yeah, so.
With the algebra modules.
Well, yeah, for example, yeah, it's not. Okay, it's some kind of theorem that if you do Whitaker of Kac-Moody, then this is the category of modules over the W algebra. And this actually turns out to be a very fruitful perspective on W algebras. I mean, you.
It's very not obvious statement, right? Somehow.
Yes.
If you solve an action, does not miss any modules.
Yeah, so I mean, this is, so it's some kind of version of like Scriabin's theorem for finite W algebras. But there's a difference, which is that all of these Whitaker equivariant objects live in cohomological degree minus infinity. So you would never see a vector, like there are no vector spaces that satisfy these kinds of transformation properties if you try to if you tried to write down like what a Harish-Chandra datum should be here or something like that, you'll never see a vector space that has that structure. And there are instead these sort of cohomological phantoms. It's kind of a cool thing, but yeah. But you can use this kind of perspective to recover many of Arakawa's kind of results about representation theory of W algebras. It gives a kind of different organizational strategy for studying these representations. Other questions? And then there's a second construction I'm going to need, which is, let me say now, kind of on the Langlands dual side. So if you have G check of K acting on some category, which I'll call C check, so why not? There's something called the Kac-Moody category for C check, or it might also be called C check of G of K weak. And this is going to be with level kappa check again. And it's kind of important. The definition is just that it's Hom from this category of Kac-Moody representations, G check hat mod kappa check, to C check over G check of K. So that's one kind of simple way to write down what this functor is. And another way to say it is that you take C check and you tensor it over, let me do it in the other order. C check, you tensor it over D modules on G check of K with this category G check at mod. And this will actually be level minus kappa check.
So if C check was a category of, again, modules for a vertex algebra, this would be the modules for the coset of the vertex algebra, I mean, of the, somehow with the Kac-Moody subalgebra?
No. So this, unfortunately, will be kind of horrible nonsense. So here I can give some examples on how to calculate it. So example one is just very formally, if you consider the category of D modules of level kappa check on the loop group, so if this is my C check, then this Kac-Moody construction for it is going to just completely tautologically recover the category of representations at level, okay, probably minus kappa check, if you're careful about it. So it, so yes. So
that's not a contradiction with what I said.
Yes. So the other example is that if you take C check itself to be G hat mod kappa check. No. Then what you get is the category of Harish-Chandra bimodules, which again don't really exist. they don't really exist in the sense that they're all cohomological kinds of phantoms. Well, for suitable choices of the level, maybe
so
a kind of. Let me try to say slightly better. What's
if we took generic kappa, would this still be complicated, or would it be complex?
Yeah, it'll still be complicated. Yeah. It's not. Yeah, basically, no one's ever proved anything about these. I don't know anything. I don't even know what questions really to ask. But I can give some more concrete examples. So if I, instead of doing G check of K, I do some finite dimensional group, or maybe H, say finite dimensional. Then an H action on an algebra A, plus some slightly extra structure, which is going to be irrelevant, is going to imply that H acts on the category of A modules. And then this corresponding construction makes sense. So I wrote some kind of notation about H weak. These will be the following kinds of data. So a representation of H of H, an action of A, and such that the obvious compatibility is satisfied. So HA acting on a vector HV is going to equal H of AV. Yeah. So. You know, it's just kind of loose approximation, but. Does that answer your question somewhat?
Sure, sorry, I didn't understand what the first line meant. So
here?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is this construction is, OK, this construction was something very, very specific to the setup, right? So here for GL2, I chose some upper triangular matrices and so on. Here, it was something very general. It's just I did something with the Lie algebra.
Okay.
And I'm saying, therefore, it makes sense for any group. So suppose. And suppose you get rid of the infinite dimensional things and just work with finite dimensional group. Then you can say very explicitly what everything is, and these phrases make sense. They're not really meaningful in this setup, unfortunately.
Can you want to jump or maybe call the general from the line of P1F2? I think one is sort of compatible with what Babila said, and second one is kind of special in that it's same G hat module, so it's it has another interpretation, so it's not also.
So here I don't know any abelian categorical version. I don't know any expression in terms of vertex algebras. I just
it's trying to be G mod G somehow.
What was it?
It's trying to be the coset of G by G roughly.
Oh, it maybe.
So that's fine. I'm just wondering if there's any
any other example you can write down.
It's trying to be coset. It's not the coset, because that would, I mean, that would be like saying that this category is like modules for H invariant functions on A, which isn't correct. It's a, it's much bigger than that. I mean, the two things are related. I mean, yeah. But it's, yeah, it's a.
I don't know what the tensor L is in here, but.
Okay, maybe let's talk about it afterwards during discussion or something. Okay, so then what do these conjectures say? So first of all, I have one of my conjectures still on the board. Irresponsibly erased the other one. And so the main property that this conjecture is going to have is that, okay, actually, sorry, it's slightly easier to do in the quantum setting. It's more symmetrical. So. This conjecture was that if you take categories at level kappa, this is equivalent to categories at level kappa check, and such that the Whitaker functor, and these go to, well, if you want DG categories, there we go, and Katz-Moody are supposed to match up. It's something. It doesn't have to be evocative in this moment, and I'll try to connect it somewhat with older results. So let me do that first in this case. So there are two ways I can try to apply that in the classical setting. So I can think about this as the equivalence at level kappa, or I can think about this, sorry, I can think about this as the equivalence at level zero, or I can think about this as the equivalence at level infinity. And that'll give me two different compatibilities here. So the first one says that if I take Whitaker here, that that's going to be equivalent to, over here it's some kind of g of k invariance. So if you think about what that means, it's going to be kind of global sections of locus with coefficients in your sheaf of categories. So this is the analog of Katz-Moody in this case, at level infinity. What was that?
So this should be somehow related to Laplace diamond again.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Time. Okay. I kind of wanted to talk about that more, but we see. But one of the facts in representation theory is you like look at something that looks huge, but then it turns out you only have so many ways to probe it, and those ways of probing it turn out to be sufficient. And here, I mean, in a way, like this Nam Neumann Dirichlet paradigm matches up very closely with the ways you have of probing objects in geometric Langlands. I mean, those are the three ways you have. There are other ways too, but okay, and then. This diagram is supposed to commute. So for maybe representation theorists, what this would evoke from p-adic representation theory is something like, well, if your group is GL2 and you work with p-adic groups instead, then it's known that up to temperedness issues, every representation has a kind of one-dimensional Whitaker model. So you think of this as like taking an irreducible representation and spitting out something kind of one-dimensional. And well, on the other hand, this equivalence is supposed to be some, you're sort of like giving, well, what you want under arithmetic Langlands is something like every irreducible representation matches up to a point in this space. And so this is kind of taking an irreducible representation and spitting out a one-dimensional vector space or kind of sort of one-dimensional category. And what this is corresponding to over here is like a point. And so it's also spitting out a one-dimensional category. That's kind of the intuition, but it works in families. And the nonsense I said doesn't make sense, and you don't have to ever think about it again. Yeah, so I'll do the other one too. So the other version of this, maybe I can just erase and do this. So this is a picture which is kind of familiar from arithmetic Langlands. There's another picture here which is not familiar. So this says that if you do Katz-Moody, and now you should be slightly careful that you remember that the level is critical. So I'm just going to write that here at some point, that this should correspond to the operation of taking global sections on the space of oppers on the puncture disk with coefficients in your category. So you pull back your category to the space of oppers, and then you take global sections. So here, let me say what oppers are for GL2. So they're supposed to be, and maybe I'll, OK. So there's something that look kind of stupid. So actually, I'll do SL2. So when I say pull back and take global sections, these should be local systems with some extra structure. So they should be, you know, gauge forms with some extra structure. And what are they? Well, there's something. They're just gauge forms of the following form. D plus 0, 0, 0, f, sorry, 1, 0, f, 1, 0, dt for f some Laurent series. So they're just gauge forms of that particular form, and I don't quotient out by anything. So it's some affine space. And yeah, I guess, well, it's somehow supposed to evoke something like the Whitaker construction. So there's like a 1 which is corresponding to that non-degeneracy from the Whitaker formalism. So that's how this, I mean, this is exactly it's supposed to appear as a limiting case of a Whitaker construction. Yeah, so now in this setup, we can kind of wonder, OK, maybe instead of saying that, I'll give this. OK, so now I want to talk about briefly kind of local to local principles so to connect with where the talk started. So, well, definitely this is an idea of Dennis's. And I remember like being in his house when I was a second year grad student. And he said, what? You don't know this? So. Everyone remember that? So so what I want to do is imitate the sort of fake proof from before. So here's the fake proof yeah, so sorry, let me step back for a second. So each of these functors upgrades. So for instance, this Whitaker functor from G of K mod to well, DG categories upgrades. So there's a usual kind of Hecke algebra construction. So these are some invariants for something. And there's some kind of Hecke category, which I call H-wit. So this is a monoidal category. You can think about these as D modules on the loop group that have Whitaker invariants on the left and on the right. And this Whitaker functor is going to upgrade to a functor from G of K mod to H Wit mod. So it's kind of the thing that acts on Whitaker invariants. So a more familiar analog of this would be to take kind of G of O invariants here, and then you're saying something like that the spherical Heke category acts on G of O invariants whenever you have full G of K symmetry. And you can do the same thing in this for in this Katz-Moody setup. So there's also a Katz-Moody version. And this gives rise to something which is called Harishchandra bimodules. So let me call them affine Harishchandra bimodules at level kappa check. So this is the monoidal category of Harishchandra bimodules, which conveniently I kind of mentioned already. Both of these are monoidal categories of a very formal nature. That's all I'm saying. And they, like, here this Whitaker-Heke category is the thing that acts on Whitaker categories. And similarly, this category of Harishchandra bimodules is the thing that acts on Katz-Moody. So, so here would be the kind of fake proof of local geometric Langlands. So the first step would be to say that this Whitaker functor from G of K mod at level kappa to Hwit, OK, I should put in a kappa, modules is an equivalence. So this was our second issue from before. This is false. And we'll put this word temperedness issues again.
False mean true for generic kappa and false for rational kappa?
Yes. One prime would be the Katz-Moody analog of that. So this Katz-Moody functor from G check of K mod, kappa check to Harishchandra bimodules is an equivalence. So ditto. And then finally, we want to have some local to local principles. That was what I wrote on the board before. So here what you would say is that if you do chiral homology of sort of the circle or the punctured disk, if you want, with coefficients in this Kajdan-Lustig category, well, let's do Whitaker of the Grassmannian first. So Whitaker kappa check of or let me just call it now Whitaker of, OK. Category I earlier called Whitaker kappa check of the Grassmannian, by which now let me told like this. Let me just say what I mean is take kappa twisted D modules on the Grassmannian and take the Whitaker category for that. So now this chiral homology of the circle with coefficients in this, so this kind of standard yoga says that this should be a monoidal category. And this is going to be monoidally equivalent to this H Wit. And 2 prime says that this chiral homology of the punctured disk, so this is sort of as monoidal categories. And 2 prime would say that chiral homology of the punctured disk with coefficients in the Kajdan-Lustig category is equal to this category of Harishchandra bimodules. And then you're done. See, what I wanted to do is construct an equivalence. Erased it. What I want to do is construct an equivalence between this and this. So how do I do it? Well, first I say g of k mod is the same as modules over this Whitaker-Hecke category. That's the same as modules for this chiral homology. Then I apply my local equivalence, which we talked about before. That's going to be the same as modules for chiral homology of the Kajdan-Lustig category. That's equivalent to Harish-Chandra bimodules. And finally, Harish-Chandra bimodules are equivalent to the right-hand side of my equivalence. And this compatibility I said is forced. So there are several issues with this strategy, but there's a host of issues with the strategy, which we talked about in the beginning of the talk also, but yeah. And one of them is that I'm out of time.
So for generic kappa, this strategy works or not? Or it has another issue, which is not that good.
Yeah, for generic kappa, the strategy should work. It seems reasonable. I mean, there's something to show, but yeah, so I guess there's, so first of all, these issues are not well formulated. These statements are not well formulated. Yes, so again, it really should say that the modules over this category should embed fully faithfully as sort of chiral modules for this category. And then you want to match up the essential images in the same way that in the global setting, some functor is fully faithful and you want to match up some essential images. But dealing with, people haven't sorted out the technical details about just these kinds of issues yet. And that's the kind of problem that you run into, some difficult analytical algebra. But yeah, the strategy should basically work for rational level as is. And yeah. Other questions?
When is the category of integral possible?
Well, what's your question?
So it's a category of integral possible.
Yeah. How does it? How does it enter into the story?
So I'm asking where this category goes.
Where it what?
Where this category goes.
Well, the category of integrable modules isn't itself acted on by. It's not acted on by the loop group in a non-trivial way, the way. Sorry. Okay, I have some space here. So, so if you wanted something like integrable representations, this will appear by taking modules for the Lie algebra and taking G of k equivariant objects in here. And so, you're like taking this representation and you're taking invariants for that representation. So it no longer has itself an action. And what you also see here is like when I say temperedness issues everywhere, so for instance here where I write temperedness issues, like for GL2 or something like that, what you see is like one of the major issues is the trivial representation of G of K. Its Whitaker model is zero because you're taking non-zero Fourier coefficients of a trivial thing. And this is Hom from vect to g hat kappa mod over g of k. Hom from the trivial representation to here. And so when you start trying to understand integrable representations in this formalism, you run into these issues in the worst possible way. So in a sense, the most classically understood part of like the representation theory of loop algebras and so on is just it's the most subtle from the perspective of geometric Langlands.
So the fact to the G of K action and is an object in the two category.
Yes.
And it's presumably
it's two modules on a point. It's what?
It's the other embedding of Neumann, presumably. The one that does not deform to generic kappa. you localize this, this will give you all, right? The trivial of the module.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Okay. So this must be the true law, the true category version of this alternative Neumann.
It could be.
Since it has to do with integrable modules.
Yeah, that sounds right. Other questions?
Do you know where Beck goes under the duality?
Well, it's exactly false for this sort of reason. See, like the statement is kind of false as stated.
No, but the duality is true.
No, the duality is false. Sorry. Well,
I don't know. It should go to alternative noun on the other side.
So, like already, no, I mean, the statement is false. It just kind of is.
So is the thing on the right side, is the thing equivalent to Q call or to int Q call n?
The space is smooth, so you won't be able to distinguish. So you need a correction along these lines, but maybe it's slightly more subtle than.
So is the correction not known?
The correction is more or less known what to do. I mean, you know, it's not like the sort of statement I'd want to write in a paper or something like that. But
I mean, so in the full conjecture, that is part of the left hand side.
Yeah.
So there should be something on the right hand side.
Yeah. So the right hand side, the left hand side is too big and the right hand side is too small. So you have to expand the right hand side a little bit.
So once you expand it, do you know where that goes?
Yes, because yeah, I mean this is very well understood for categories which are generated by their Iwahori invariants or their GFO invariants or something like this, and so effect is generated by invariants of anything you want. So in particular, there.
So it'd be nice to match the image with the alternative Neumann, alternative noun.
Oh, that kind of alternative noun. Yeah. I understand. Yeah. It's that sort of shape. It's exactly that sort of shape. Yeah. So alternative noun, not alternative Neumann.
Well, it was vectors alternative Neumann, and it goes to something which is alternative noun.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yes.
So what is alternative noun?
No,
it's your funny construction of where the constant sheaf goes under geometric Langlands.
Oh, that's the alternative. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
But that's specific to infinity.
Yes.
Okay. Sam?
Yeah.
So suppose I take a finite dimensional representation of G.
Uh-huh.
And then I take V of K.
It seems that way.
Yeah, that's a modified Neumann.
Yeah.
Do you know where that goes?
Depends on
that's an example. He was just asking. Like if you have a point, then you end up with a question. But not okay, just
asking. I don't think there's a universal answer that you think it would have to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Are there any more questions? I think we missed the clap, so we should clap longer.